This podcast is a production of The Orchard, a church community located in Aurora, Illinois, whose mission is leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Visit us online at orchardvalleyonline.com. We are going to dive right into our talk today. We are in the last weekend of our big series, and they begin about 3 weeks ago. And these past few weeks, we've spent some time looking at this great big gigantic mission of God. And of course, we've been looking at what our role looks like when it comes to that mission. What our role looks like as individuals, and what our role looks like as a church community. And one of the things we've learned is that God has always been about using people to fulfill his mission. He's always been about using people. Since the beginning of time, God has always used people to carry out his mission in this world. And the good thing is, he hasn't looked and tried to use just perfect people, because for one, he can't find any, right? but he's not looking for perfect people. He's not looking for issue-free people, because God always uses just ordinary, everyday people to do his work in this earth. And he's looking for people who are not just ordinary, but even people whose lives are filled with issues and dysfunctions and temptations, and even times, even failure and sin. But who at the same time are willing to dream big dreams and who are willing to do great big things and take big risks for God. And those are the types of people God's looking for on this earth today. Those are the kind of churches God is looking for, the kind of churches that say, you know what, we are more concerned with being significant than we are about being safe. That is what God's looking for. And so anyway, if you've missed any of these weeks, we want to give you the CD of those messages at no charge. So if you would, stop by the Information Center today, or you can go online and download it as well. Because I really, really want you to hear and experience some of the things we've been talking about. Well, today I want to do something a little bit different than what we would typically do here on Sunday morning. I'm going to actually wrap my sermon today, the whole thing. I'm just kidding. You guys, I just came up with that. But anyway, I want to do, some of you are starting to run out of the room right now. I want to take a few minutes this morning to, I guess, just really have a very, very candid, very honest conversation with you, our church community. So many times we're either in a series or we're in just this time crunch to try to get everything done that we need to on Sunday mornings. And very seldom do I get the opportunity to just share some of the things I want to share with you today. So would you bow your heads with me? Let's pray. And I'm excited about some of the things we get to talk about today. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, this morning, we want to just open our hearts to you. God, we're excited about what you're doing here in this church community and the fact that we all get to be a part of this. God, every day that goes by, I realize that this is so much bigger than just one person. God, you are really doing something significant here. And God, if there's anything I know that you want to do, it's that you really, really want to do something significant through this church. And God, you are looking for people, and you're looking for churches that aren't afraid to dream big dreams and aren't afraid to step out and take big risks in their life. God, we want to be that kind of church. We want to be those kind of people. And so, God, we pray that that would happen, and we pray that we would have the, God, that we would be courageous and that we would have the faith to step out and obey you. We pray that now in Christ's name. Amen. You know, as the lead pastor of this church, one of the things that I think about daily is the responsibility that I have in leading this church. And believe me when I say this, there's not a day that goes by that I don't feel the weight of that responsibility. And it's certainly not anything I take lightly. As a matter of fact, there are times, you know, and you probably know this, if you know me, there are times it feels overwhelming. There's times it feels sometimes just downright scary. You know, when you begin thinking about what God might want to do, it can feel almost frightening. And I also know that when you're a part of something that's bigger than yourself, that's how you're going to feel. I mean, if this thing felt, you know, comfortable to us, if this thing felt like it's just no big deal that we can do this without the help of God, then I have to believe that maybe it's not from God. Because when God's involved, when it's a vision that's from God, when it's a mission that's from God, it's always going to be bigger than one person. It's always going to be bigger than you or me. Well, you know, part of my responsibility as your pastor is to make sure that we are on track, to make sure that we are accomplishing everything that God wants us to do here at this church, which is why our number one priority here is to be a healthy church. Our number one priority is to be a healthy church. I didn't say the biggest church. I didn't say the church with the nicest building or the, you know, with the funniest pastor in town. Although, I will say that I think maybe I'm getting there. What's up, G? Thank you. Sounds like we have a Pentecostal in here. Anyway. But see, none of those things are the most important things. The most important thing that we can be about is making sure that we are a healthy church. And one of the things I've learned from being around church land pretty much all my life is that you cannot necessarily judge the health of a church by simply looking at a few externals. I mean, in other words, things like attendance or how much money a church has, which is why in and of itself a big church does not necessarily equal a healthy church. I mean, you can have a big church that is completely missing the mark and not accomplishing its mission. And you can have a church that is meeting their budget and has a lot of money and at the same time is not fulfilling its purpose. I mean, that happens all the time. And so in and of themselves, things like money and attendance are factors that if you just take those alone, you cannot necessarily judge whether or not a church is healthy. However, I'll also say that since part of what makes a church healthy is there being a constant focus on reaching those who don't know God, if that church is succeeding in the mission of reaching people who don't know God, there will be growth because you're going to be constantly reaching new people. So, while growth alone is not necessarily a sign of a healthy church, I do believe, will be a growing church. So with that in mind, there's a couple things we try to look at on a regular basis to determine what does our health look like as a church. And unlike a business whose bottom line is dollars, that is not our bottom line. Our bottom line here is people. Our bottom line is lives. What's happening in people's lives? Changed lives, which also, unfortunately, equals out to a lot of intangibles. Because sometimes it's hard to measure what's happening in someone's heart. So rather than try to focus on just one or two things and say, okay, well, based on these one or two things, our church is healthy, what we really need to do and constantly be doing is looking at several areas of this church and sort of getting that big picture and asking ourselves, okay, are we experiencing progress in all areas? For example, we believe that a sign of a healthy church is when a church is reaching a lot of unchurched people. We really believe that if a church is healthy, that if they are really on mission, they're going to be reaching unchurched people. Because here's the thing, if the only people that we're reaching are those who are already convinced, or people who are just changing churches, if that's all we're reaching, then we are missing the mark. Which is why we're so passionate about reaching unchurched people, or you could say de-churched. You know, people who at one time were in church, but for whatever reason walked away from the church. I mean, that is what we're passionate about. Reaching the unchurched or the de-churched of our community, which, by the way, is the majority of our city. I mean, Aurora, the last I heard, was like 75% unchurched. That is huge. That means we have a lot of work ahead of us, doesn't it? We have a lot of work, a lot of opportunity. And anyway, I do know also that from time to time, we do draw people from other churches to the Orchard, and that's understandable. Sometimes it's people who are part of a church. Maybe they feel like their church is not accomplishing its mission. Maybe they feel like that church is maybe they're just not connecting like they used to at a certain time, or maybe they got a new pastor and, you know, or whatever. I understand that those things certainly happen. Sometimes people get offended. They get mad at their pastor. I can't imagine that ever happening here. But, but sometimes they get upset. Maybe they get disgruntled, and so they leave for all sorts of reasons. But here's what's important. Here's what I want you to know. If you're here and you're from another church, here's what I want you to know. You are welcome to be here under two conditions. Number one, that you left your old church well. It is really, really important to us that you left your old church well. Look, if you just hightailed it out of that last church and you didn't take time to say anything to those people in leadership or your pastor, or to at least just go in and to thank them for their ministry in your life, you need to do that. Because I'll tell you what, leaving a church well, how you leave a church is so important. And God, I just believe God has a hard time putting his blessing on it when we don't do it a good way, when we don't go about it the right way. That's why I appreciate it. I got a phone call, I think about a week and a half ago, a lady in our church, she called me and she said, you know, I just want to let you know I don't think we're going to be attending the Orchard anymore. You know, we really like what you guys are doing, but we just feel called to go somewhere else. And you know what I said to her? I said, you know what? The fact that you took the time to call me just says so much about your character. It says so much about who you are, and I just want to tell you how much I appreciate it. The fact that people would take the time out to share and to thank our church for what God's done in their lives. So number one, we want you to go about it the right way. But secondly, if you think you can just come here from another church and just hide out, oh, no, no. Now, we'll give you a little bit of time, okay? Because I know sometimes you're hurt, you're feeling some pain, you need to recover, whatever. But we're not going to give you that long. And we're definitely not going to let you just hide out here, okay? Because here's the thing, if God's bringing you here, because we are a missional church, so if God is bringing you here, he is bringing you here to help us further our mission. I really believe that. Okay, more on that later. So a good sign of a healthy church, are we reaching unchurched people? Recently we did a interesting research, and we learned something very interesting. What we did was we took, we looked at our Orchard 101. How many of you have been to Orchard 101? Would you raise your hand? Bunch of you. Those of you who haven't, just stand up right now. Just kidding. Anyway, what we did was we took a, we survey everybody in those classes, and so we took 2005, October 2005 to October 2006, and I just want to show you this because this is really encouraging. 53% of everyone who attended Orchard 101 within the last year is from an unchurched background. 53%. Now tell me that's not awesome. Okay, and get this. Out of those 53%, 44% of those have been out of church for 5 or more years. 44% have been out of church for 5 or more years. 27% have been out of church for 10 years or longer or never in church. Now that deserves a huge hand clap right there. So in other words, over half the people who've attended Orchard 101 have come from either an unchurched or a de-churched background. And the reason that this is so exciting for us is because even Jesus said, look, I didn't come for those who are well, I came for those who are sick. I came for those who need a Savior. And so what's exciting is we are reaching those kind of people. And that's exciting to us. Now, another thing that's important when it comes to the health of a church, I think, is taking a step back and looking, and like I said a minute ago, looking at and seeing how things are progressing on all levels, everywhere from attendance to how people are engaged financially to how many people are serving, you know, our lives being changed, are people taking steps forward in their journey? You know, in other words, what does the big picture look like? And so for me as your pastor, what I'm constantly looking at is across the board and saying, how are we doing in all areas? Is there areas that aren't growing like they should? Are there areas that, you know, I mean, there's sometimes you see areas that are just booming and others that are not, and you're saying, okay, we might be doing well in this area, but we need to really do better over here, and we just need to make some adjustments. The other thing is, sometimes you just can't be great at everything at one time. And I know there are people who come in all the time who say, well, do you guys have this ministry? Do you guys have that? More than likely, we probably will never have most of those, okay? But it's impossible to be good at everything. So what we'd rather do is say, okay, here's the 4 or 5 things we know we can do well, and we're going to give it all we've got. And as we grow and as we bring more people in, then maybe we can expand it out a little bit further. But we're just not going to try to be good at everything because then everything will go downhill. Okay? And here's the thing. If we, like, neglect what's happening here on the weekends, it doesn't matter how great we make anything else because this is where we draw people in every weekend. So we got to make this the best we can. Anyway, so we look at the big picture. And we say, what's happening across the board? So I want to take a few minutes, and I want to show you a few things that I think will help really paint a picture for you of what God is doing here. Now, again, if you're visiting today, we don't normally do this kind of stuff on Sunday morning, but I really wanted to share this with you. I want to begin by looking at probably what is the most obvious and easiest area to track, which is attendance. Okay, now, each weekend, we count how many people walk through these doors. And if you're pregnant, we count you twice. I'm just kidding. We don't do that. But what I'm going to show you, I want to show you our average weekend attendance, and I want to go back to about 2003 so you can see what's happened over these last couple of years. Let's take a look. 2003, our average weekend attendance was 289 people. 2004, average was 376. 2005, 457. 2006, 538. So as you can see, there's been some very, very positive progress. We've had some great growth, very consistent growth. Okay, but I'm going to tell you, okay, what's really been amazing is looking to see what's happened just over these last 4 or 5 months. Here it goes. Anyway, so get this. Last few months has been amazing, okay? First of all, our highest growth time this last year was in the middle of summer. And if you've been around churchianity for any length of time in your life, you know as well as I do that typically summer is known, and what happens in the summer is what's called summer slump. You know what the summer slump is? The summer slump, pastors hate summer slump. That's when we go on vacation. We don't like it. Summer slump is when, first of all, when not only do you not grow during those summer months, but you actually, your attendance and your giving actually decline. And that has been our pattern just about every year. And so this year, you know, we're thinking, you know, we're preparing for things to be kind of quiet. You know, I'm thinking I'm going to just disconnect a little bit and rest. And we're kind of curious what's going to happen with the momentum over the summer. Well, can I show you what happened this summer? Take a look at this. This is really amazing. First of all, let me go back to May, and I'm going to compare it with last year, so you can see. If we go back to May of 2005, our weekend attendance in May of 2005 was 462 people. Why is there like an air show going on? Anyway, May of 2006 this year went up 535 average weekend attendance. June. Okay, of 05, we were averaging 399 a weekend. June of 06 went up about 24% to 495. Now, for summer, that's really good. Okay, but that's nothing. Okay, check this out. Look at what happened in July. July of 05, 400. July of 06, 539. Over 35% increase over the year before of how many people we're reaching on our weekends. That's huge. In the summertime. Okay, now, August 05, we were averaging 409 a weekend. This year, August 06, 552. 35% increase. September 05, we're reaching 457. This year, 546. 20% increase. October, this last month, last year, we're averaging 467 a weekend. This year, 585. 25% increase. What's amazing here is that July and August were our highest seasons of growth the entire year. And we have no idea why. You know, I'm talking to some friends of mine in ministry, and they're going, man, summer stinks. We don't know how we're going to get momentum back up. And I'm going, dude, like, I can hardly keep up with what's happening at the Orchard right now. You know, and the only thing I can guess is that so many of you are unchurched that you don't know you're not supposed to show up at church on summertime. That's the only thing I can guess. And so I hesitated to even show you this. Because now you know. We're tracking who's here today, and if you're not here next summer, you're getting letters, maybe even a phone call or even a visit. Anyway. Now, in case you don't know this, okay, first of all, most churches in the United States and even here locally in this area are not growing. In fact, most churches are actually in decline. The average church in America is in decline. They are losing people every week. Now, typically, if a church is growing, the kind of numbers that most churches get excited about, and I know this because I've been around churches all my life, the kind of numbers that most churches get excited about is if they're seeing 3% or 4% or 5% growth a year, they're excited about that. We're hitting 20, 25, 35. Tell me that is not amazing. Tell me that is not God at work here. Amen? Now, let me also point out these numbers you're looking at are weekend attendance numbers, because here's the thing. If every person who would say this is their home church, if everyone showed up here next Sunday, we'd have about 900 people in attendance at the Orchard, which is actually a conservative figure. In fact, last week, Catherine Egley, our children's director, told me, she said, we just purged the list of people who maybe aren't here anymore, who we haven't heard from in a while. She said, we have over 500 active kids involved in our children's ministry. 500. Amen. Whew, that's exciting. All I can say is that I'm glad I'm not the children's director. Man, you all been busy or something. Now, let me show you something else, okay? Now you've seen the attendance. I want to show you what we've seen financially happen over the last 3 or 4 years. What I'm going to show you is our weekly giving averages and we're going to begin with 03. Now, before I show you this, 2003 was a tough year for us. We had begun turning this church a new direction, and it cost us greatly. We had lost not only a lot of people, but when you lose people, you lose dollars. You lose their giving. And there was a period of time where we were losing and not really growing a whole lot, and we really felt it. So let me show you this. Our average weekly giving in 2003 was $8,554 a weekend. Okay, now our budget at that time was $12,000 a week, and we were averaging $8,500. So imagine the environment around here. Not that we really let it show on Sundays, because that you don't want to just get up and we're going under. But I mean, you know, you feel that. You talk about our poor accounting people. Like they had to be really creative, you know. Okay, what bills do we not pay this week, and we can try to pay those next week, or what happens if we don't ever pay this one? What will happen, you know? And so that was a tough year. In 04, look at this. It went up to $10,585, about 24% increase in that year. 05, $11,896. Now look at this. 06, $14,591. 23% increase in weekly giving. Again, another area that we're just so thankful, and you just have no idea how much of a difference it makes when you're consistent in your giving. Because look, I need to be focused, and we as a staff and you as a church, we need to be focused on the mission of God for this church, not on the stresses that having no money brings. It's hard to do both. And we believe God's best is if we can be 100% focused on doing his work for this church. And what's even more encouraging, I think, than this is to see not only how much increase we've seen, but how many more people are engaged in giving. Because here's the thing, if all you see is your weekly income go up, that could be the same people just giving more. And while that's fine, and I want to encourage you to do that, the best thing is if you have more people engaged in giving. So I want to show you, and see, here's the reason we feel so passionate about this. We really do believe what Jesus said when he said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so here's the thing, it's not just how this church benefits when you give. More than that, it's how you benefit in your life when you give, when you invite God to be a part of your finances. Now before I get into a sermon, let me stay focused. So let me show you what's happened in the area of giving units. These are the number of people who give every weekend, at least who fill out the cards. If you're a cash person, please use an envelope, because here's the thing, or if you just write out a check, still use an envelope, because we got to fill out an envelope. So our staff has to do that. So to save us some time, if you would do that, that'd be great. So anyway, let me show you this. Giving units. This is average per week. 2003, we were averaging 68 giving units. 2004 went up 25% to 85 giving units. Again, 2005, another 24%, 105. 2006, 127 giving units. And in the last few weeks, that number's been right around 140 to 160 range. That is good news. And so when we see that we're not only progressing financially in amounts, but we're progressing in how many people are engaged in giving, man, I'll tell you what, that just really excites us, because it says, wow, people are growing, people are stepping out in faith, people are getting involved, and we're a lot of times we just see it on our end, how it affects us. We can't wait to see how it affects all of you. And some of you who've been engaged in giving, you know that when you put God first, he takes care of you. Anyway, another indicator that I think is huge is, and I think not just huge, but I think the number one indicator is what is happening in people's lives spiritually. And I can't tell you, and I don't even read, probably three-quarters of the ones I receive, emails, letters, phone calls, comments of people who have amazing stories of how their lives have been changed through this church. And this last summer, we had an awesome experience. We had our largest water baptism ever. Typically, we baptize around 30 to 35 people a year here at the Orchard, which is huge for us. 30 to 35 is huge. I remember the last 2 years when we baptized that many people, we went, wow, this is amazing. This year we baptized, and that number actually went up like about 120%, okay? We baptized 80 people this year, which is just amazing. And in fact, because this is what it's all about, guys. I mean, everything we do here is about people's lives being changed. I mean, everything we do, every ounce of creativity, every message, every song, everything comes down to seeing people's lives change. Because here's the thing, who cares if you have the greatest media? Who cares if you have the best marketing? If God's Spirit is not working in your church, all of that means nothing. And so when God's Spirit is working, we have to celebrate that. A few weeks ago, we showed this baptism video. A bunch of you weren't here to see that, so I want to actually show it to you again right now. And I want you, as you watch this, just to get excited in your heart for what God is doing here at The Orchard. So check this out.
Hit the bottom, and I knew I needed Christ back in my life. I wish I could go back and change. I would never left. So I need him in me. I need him back in my life as strong as he was when I was a real young man, even stronger, because I can't do this anymore. So today is like a new life for me. Lights will
Jesus Christ is a step, a progressive step, and it just doesn't all of a sudden happen. Being baptized, you know, I'm an old guy, but there's always time to start. So
when you're too loved to let it go. We're gonna be getting married soon, and we knew we needed a foundation, and you know, this was the place for it. That's the reason for the baptism today and everything else, is we know we need to be closer with God. And, you know, obviously we're taking big steps in our life coming the next month with the marriage and everything, so getting a little nervous, but, you know, I guess that's normal.
Down your face, and I. Definitely one of the high points of my life, like, no doubt.
It was so beautiful with my daughter and my husband and everybody doing it. It was so nice. You're going to make me cry right now, though.
A million pounds have been lifted off my shoulders, so I feel awesome.
Just going to be a day that I think none of us will ever forget.
I've watched that dozens of times. It just gets me every time. I mean, because this is what it's all about, guys. Right here. And, man, wow. I'll tell you what, if you haven't figured it out yet, God is really up to something big at this place. And he's doing something really big in people's lives. And you know, it's, at the same time, I also believe that we haven't even begun to scratch the surface of what God wants to do through this church. You know, so one of the things we've been doing is we've been, we've been looking forward and we've been saying, okay, where do we see ourselves a year from now? Where do we see ourselves 18 months from now? Because one of the things we know, you know, we've never really set attendance goals here. We just feel like that could easily become our focus. We don't want it to be. But we also know that we do need to project, and we do need to be prepared for what God is doing. So we've been taking some time to really say, okay, what does the future look like? I mean, based on what we've seen these last 2 or 3 years, what do we see happening over these next several months? And this is what we've come to realize. If we continue to grow at the pace that we've been growing at over these last couple of years, we're estimating that 1 year from now, 12 months from this time, we're going to be averaging our weekend attendance to be somewhere in the neighborhood of 750 to 800 people a weekend. A year from now, and that is a conservative figure. We figure a little bit low on that. Okay, and get this, in 18 months, the spring of 08, okay, not this coming spring, but a year from this coming spring, we estimate, if we continue to grow as we have, we estimate that our attendance, weekend attendance will be around 900 people a weekend. And tell me, I mean, that is awesome. You know, I'll tell you what, I mean, we've got exciting days ahead, but we also have a lot of work to do. because here's the thing, is as much as growth is a positive thing, and as much as everybody wants growth, what most people don't think about is how much it affects us. What most people don't think about are the challenges that growth creates. I mean, it's so funny to hear pastors talk, yeah, we want our church to grow, and then it grows and they freak out. You know, and I can relate to that. I understand, you know, because sometimes it just feels overwhelming. I mean, for example, I mean, this campus that we have right here can only accommodate a certain amount of people at one time. Oh, I mean, sure, we could pull the sardine thing, and we could try to, like, jam as many people in here as possible. I mean, but what a mess that would be, you know? I mean, and here's what we know, too. Once a church reaches 70 to 80% capacity in any area, it will stop growing. Once it reaches 70 to 80%, the growth will taper off and it'll stop growing. But here's the thing about that. Since we are a church that's committed to reaching people who don't know God, and since we are a church that is not all about us, and it's all about our comfort or what's easy for us, I'm going to tell you, we are committed to making sure that we're doing whatever needs to be done to make room for the people that God is bringing in here at the Orchard. So a couple things that we're doing right now is we're looking at ways that we can absolutely just maximize our space here. As you can see, we've added a bunch of chairs in here. We're asking, how do we maximize every area of our church? And here's the balance. How do we maximize the space and still be effective at what we're doing? I mean, again, we could cram tons of people in this building, but then what would happen? Well, instead of our kids being well cared for, and having like a real solid adult to child ratio, we would have a mess and a bunch of ticked off parents. Okay, so we're working on ways, how do we maximize our space while at the same time increasing the quality of our environments? How do we maximize it but continue to make it better? And yet, even at that, it's obvious to us that it's just really a matter of time before what we're doing here in two services is not going to be enough to accommodate all the people God's bringing in here. So one of the things we've been talking about, and one of the things we're planning right now, is adding a third service. Either, you know, maybe a third Sunday morning, maybe a Saturday night or something like that. But I'll tell you, and I know for some of you that sounds exciting. You're going, yes. You know, Saturday night, that could be like the guilt-free service. You sleep in Sunday morning, you don't feel guilty. It's great. So I know some of you, you're like, yes, that sounds exciting. But I'll tell you, for those of you who lead areas of ministry, okay, as exciting as it might feel, okay, the thought of adding a third service causes your heart rate to increase right now. And you've got acid reflux and other kind of things happening inside right now. Because adding another service means adding tons more volunteers to help make it happen. Okay, more children's workers, more production people, more welcome team people, on and on and on. So see, growing creates some big challenges for us. The challenge of space, the challenge of needing more people serving. But you know, it also affects another area that you might not typically think about, but that I do think about a lot, and that is it affects the way I, as your pastor, lead this church. You know, the way I lead a church, or the way I would lead a church maybe of 200 people or 300 people, would look a lot different from the way that I am leading a church of 600 or 700 people. It has to. And the way that I lead a church of 600 or 700 people is going to look different from the way I need to lead a church of 1,000 or 2,000 people. Which is why I always get concerned when I hear people say things like, well, you know, one of the things I love about the Orchard is just that it just feels smaller. It's smaller than our last church. That makes me nervous, because here's the thing. What are you going to do when we grow to be larger than your last church? And so here's the thing. If you're here because you want a small church feel, okay, you better get plugged in fast. You better get serving. You better, when we launch some more small groups in a couple of months here, you better get into a small group. You better get engaged. Either that, or you better go find a church that's not growing, because we are going to grow. We're going to reach more people. Amen. Thank you for that incredible response that just shook me off my chair. And see, here's the deal. Okay, look. Is there a little conviction going on in this room right now? Huh? We need to have a little altar call or something? Anyway, here's the deal. If I tried leading this church right now, like I would lead a church of 100 people or 200 people, first of all, not only would I end up in an insane asylum, but my wife would leave me. My kids would hate me, and I'd probably cuss a lot more than I do right now. I'm kidding. Sort of. Anyway, here's the deal. So here's the thing. My first consideration is in how I lead is how is it affecting, number one, my relationship with God? Because I'll tell you, if leading this church, or any church for that matter, causes me to stop growing in my relationship with God, then we've all got a real problem on our hands. Yeah, but you're the pastor. How can a pastor stop? I mean, it's like what you do. How can you stop growing your relationship with God? You know what? Probably the same way that you could stop growing in God because of your job. Same way. Look, I know a lot of pastors, okay, who have allowed doing God's work to take priority over God's work being done in their lives. And so it's vital that I lead in a way that I can continue to grow and develop and move forward in my journey of following Jesus. Because I'm going to tell you, pastors do not sit at some pinnacle of following Jesus. They are on a journey just like you. We are growing together. Okay, so the second consideration is in how I lead, and how I lead is my family. I'm telling you, I mean, do you want to hear something scary? Let me show you something. Listen to these stats about pastors. It's going to blow your mind. 1,500 pastors leave the ministry every month due to spiritual burnout, contention in their churches, or due to some sort of moral failure. 1,500 pastors a month. 50% of pastors' marriages will end in divorce. 50% of pastors. Their marriages will end in divorce. 80% of pastors and 84% of their spouses feel unqualified and discouraged in their role as pastors. 80% of pastors and 84% of pastors' wives. 50% of pastors right now are so discouraged that they would leave the ministry if they could, but they have no other way of making a living, so they just stay in it. 70% of pastors fight depression. Now, these are things that probably most of you have no idea of, and you're seeing some things here that are pretty staggering. And here's the thing. These are very real. These are very, and not only real, but they are frightening statistics. You think they're frightening to you. They're frightening to me. Because here's the thing. I'm going to tell you, no pastor is exempt from this stuff happening to them. No pastor. I don't care how pastoral they might feel or seem or look. No one is exempt, including me. No one is exempt. Now, I can assure you, you know, I'm not thinking of leaving the church, okay? Amanda and I are not getting a divorce, you know, unless you know something I don't. Anyway, I'm not discouraged. I love what I do here. It energizes me. I love it. But let me be real clear in saying this, okay? I will not allow the demands of ministry or of people to come before my relationship with God or my relationship with my family. I will not let it happen. And what that means is that the way that I lead right now is not the same way that I'll be able to lead in the future. And I'll tell you, you know, people don't even think a lot about this, but you, man, when you're a pastor, do you realize how many eyes you have on you at all times? I'm not kidding you. And do you think it's comfortable? No, are you kidding me? You know, I realize that I can't get away with some things I'd like to get away with. I can't, you know, if someone cuts me off, I can't tell them they're number one because they might go to this church. I can't, you know, if the Starbucks person doesn't make my drink right, hey, they might be a member or they may be a future member. Hey, I remember you. So the way I lead now is going to be different from the way I lead in the future, which means, you know what? I may not be the guy visiting you in the hospital. Someone will, but it probably won't be me. It also means that I have to constantly work hard at simplifying my role here. I have to constantly be working hard to guard my time. And I'm going to tell you, if I have to choose between doing ministry or another night away and being another night away from my children, I'm going to tell you, I will always choose to go home and be with my children. Because I'm going to tell you, amen. So I'm going to tell you, ministry will always be here. Always. My children will not. They will be growing. They will be changing. And I don't ever want to look back and regret missing out on their childhood because nothing is worth that, not even leading a church. And, of course, there's certain times, there's exceptions, there's crises that come up and that require more time and more availability, and I understand that. But my point in saying all of this is that the way that I lead right now will be different than the way I lead in the future. And the reason this is so important for me to talk about with you guys is because my calling here, what I'm called to do as your pastor is to lead this church, to feed this church, and to make sure that we are going the direction that God wants us to go. That's what I'm here for. And anything outside of that, it can easily pull me away from focusing on those things. People don't realize, my messages that I write, I sit down every week with a blank pad of paper, and I write my messages from scratch. And I sit down and I spend anywhere from 15 to 18, sometimes 25 hours a week writing what you listen to every Sunday. And I write it word for word, baby. Because it helps with the way I talk, because I write better than the way I talk. You know? Anyway, but I mean, so I have to be focused. My calling here, and the best thing that I could do for you, the best thing I could do for me, the best thing I could do for this church and this community is to focus on what I'm here to do, to feed this church, to lead this church, and to help make sure that we are creating the kind of culture that God wants us to create here so that we can be the most effective church we can be. So, growing is good, but it creates some challenges. It creates a challenge in our space. It creates a challenge in how many people we need to serve. And it creates a challenge in the way I lead. I have to change the way I lead. But I also know that with God's grace and with God's power, with God's ability, we can address these challenges and we can move forward in the future. And I believe we can impact every life God wants us to impact. So, what does all this mean for you? What does it mean for you? It means one word. The word is commitment. Would you say that word with me today? Commitment. Now, if you would take out your bulletin, because I want you to jot a couple things down today. I mean, now this is serious. I know we're going over in time, but that's okay. The buffet will still be open. Commitment. It's going to take commitment. Let me just say this real quick. It's going to mean this, okay? First of all, it's going to mean that some of you who've been doing a great job warming your seat every week, it means that you're going to have to get off of your blessed assurance, and you're going to have to engage in the mission, okay? And let me just say this very boldly, okay, but with a lot of love, and I hope you know me to know that there's love here. But let me just say this very boldly, okay? If you're looking for a church, and please listen to me, if you're looking for a church that will be okay with you just attending and getting and getting and getting and getting, this is not going to be a good place for you. It's just not. As a matter of fact, more than likely, we're probably going to need your seat pretty soon. So here's the thing, okay? And I'm not talking about those who are maybe you're a spiritual seeker, you're visiting. Hey, I don't expect you to engage like people who call this their home church. But I'm going to tell you, if this is your home church, listen to me now. If this is your home church, if all you do here every week is show up and all you're doing is you're watching and observing and eating and eating and eating and eating, guess what? You are going to become obese. You are going to become spiritually obese. And at some point, you are going to have a heart problem. And so this is not the place that you can just come and chill out and not be engaged, because we are a mission. And everyone said, so, four commitments I'm going to ask of all of you. And I want you to write these down. If you consider this your church home, I need you to do four things, okay? The first thing is this, and I want you to write these down. The first commitment that I'm asking every person who considers this their home church to do is I'm asking you to make a commitment to prayer. I'm asking you to make a commitment to prayer and to pray for this church. And you might say, well, how do I pray for the church? What should I pray for? Very simple. Pray for two things to happen. Number one, pray that we would hear God's voice. Pray that we would hear what God has to say to us. And secondly, pray that we would have the courage and the faith to step out and obey God. Two things. If that's all you pray for those two things, that we would hear God's voice, that we would listen to God, and number two, that we would have the courage and the faith to obey Him. Because I'll tell you what, if we will listen to what God wants to do, if we will listen to His voice, and if we will step out and obey Him, we will succeed. We will do what God wants us to do. We'll never go wrong. So I'm asking for a commitment of prayer. Secondly, I'm going to ask you to commit to partnership. Write that word down if you would. Partnership. Would you say that with me this morning? Partnership. Partnership, very simple. There's two words you need to know to do this. It's called invest and invite. Very simple. As you invest in the lives of people around you who need to experience God's love through serving, through loving, through being the best friend that you can be, And then as you look for opportunities to invite them to experience the Orchard environments, as you do your part, okay, you do what we can't do. You build those relationships. You meet those people. You go out of your way to do it. And as you do your part of bringing people to the Orchard, we will do our part of creating the most irresistible environments that we can create that we believe will make a huge impact in their lives. So you invest in those relationships, and you invite. And do you remember what I said a couple weeks ago? If every person in this church would engage by inviting one person into the Orchard in the next 12 months, we would double the amount of people that we would be reaching every weekend. And so instead of our attendance being 650 range, we would be reaching 1,300 people a weekend. We would love to have that problem. So I challenge you. So I'm asking you to commit to praying. I'm asking you to commit to partnering with us through in investing and inviting. And then the third area of commitment, I'm asking you to commit financially to what's happening here at the Orchard. I'm asking you to commit financially. And you know, I'm constantly reminded, because I talk to a lot of you, I'm constantly reminded, a lot of people have no idea how churches operate financially. There are a lot of assumptions. People think, now are you subsidized by the government? What? Ha! Are you smoking something? What do you mean? Are we subsidized? But anyway, someone asked me one time, so now what is your real job anyway? You mean what do I do on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? Nothing. I just pray all week. Because my only day I work is on Sunday. Anyway. People think maybe like denominations give money to the churches. I don't know. Either that or we're on the wrong mailing list or something. Our church is supported 100% by those who call this their church home, 100%. Everything we do here is done because you are consistent in your giving to the church, which means that you know, we don't do what are the, you know, different marketing things to try to get a lot of money. We don't do bingo or raffles or anything like that. God bless those, but they're not for us because we believe God's best is when people give their tithe, their 10%, and put God first. That's how God wants the church to operate, okay? Now, just like you, we have a mortgage. I'll bet you ours is a little bit bigger than yours. If it's not, I want to see your house. Utility bills, we have them. Insurance. And in case you don't know this, this building is not paid for, okay? We owe right around $2.8 million on this campus, okay? Which means that we have a hefty, hefty, hefty mortgage. You know what our mortgage is? $24,000 a month. Just think about that for a second. A month! A month! $24,000 a month! That means the first $6,000 every week goes into an account to pay for our mortgage. Sweating. Can you imagine, though, the giving that we could do towards missions if we didn't have to pay $6,000 a week for our mortgage? $24,000 a month? Can you imagine the outreach we could do in this community? Can you imagine the blessing we could be to people financially if we weren't carrying that? Can you imagine the staff that we could hire to be able to do some of the things we really are dreaming of doing? Well, let's start imagining it, okay? Let's start dreaming. Let's start imagining it. Speaking of staff, that's another area. People don't think about this. We have 10 people on our paid staff. Now, that may seem like a lot to you, but if it does, you probably don't have any idea what it takes to operate a church of this size. And I'll tell you, even at that, we are understaffed. Five of our staff are full-time staff. Five of them are part-time staff. And in case you don't know this, we have an awesome staff here at the Orchard. I'm telling you, We have an incredible team. We have incredible staff. But here's the other thing. We need to expand that team. There are a couple of strategic areas that we really need to hire staff to oversee and to help us create and to raise up and train up leaders for. And I could go on and on and on, but here's the thing I want you to know. First of all, we need to be committed to hitting our weekly budget. If we could hit our weekly budget, and I believe we could do that, if every person would be committed, we could do it. If every person would be consistent in giving, we could hit our weekly budget, no problem. We'd be beyond that. Okay, but secondly, there are a handful of initiatives that I'm going to be sharing with you probably at the beginning of 2007. I'm going to be sharing with you a handful of things that we really believe God wants us to do in 2007 that are going to take us to the next level as a church. Some of that is going to be about missions, what we believe God wants us to do with missions. Part of it's going to be what we believe God wants us to do. I mean, this room right here, there are things we could do in this room to go to the next level that would blow your mind. And so, I mean, there's things around this church and children's ministry we need to do. There's things all over. And so when it comes time to present this, I'm going to ask you to commit above your regular giving to this church. And I'm going to ask if we could all pull together and help make that happen. Because there are things we could do here that would just immediately help us go to the next level. Because if we want what we've never had, we've got to do what we've never done before. If we keep doing what we've always had, we're going to get the same thing, but we want to do more. We believe God is calling us to do more, and so we've got to do what we've never done before. So I'm asking you to commit to praying. I'm asking you to commit to giving financially. I'm telling you, it's important that we continue to make progress in our giving. So we want to be committed to making sure that we hit our weekly budget, and we'll be talking more about some other things later. And lastly, one last area, and I really need your attention during this time. The last one is this, is in the area of serving. If you'd write that down this morning, the phrase that we use here at the Orchard is strategic. Strategic service. What is strategic service, you ask? Well, I'm glad you asked. Strategic service is really this. It's really about asking the question, where am I needed the most? That's what strategic service is about. Where am I needed the most? Where can I serve strategically so that when I'm finished serving on Sunday or whatever day of the week it is, I feel like that I have made a strategic investment in the mission of the Orchard. That is what strategic service is. It's simply this. It's applying your heart and your hands to the place of greatest demand. Applying your heart and your hands to the place of greatest demand. It's asking, where is the critical need in this church right now? And not just need, like, well, there's just a bunch of random things to be involved with, and we're just going to make up ministries so people can serve. No, we don't do that here. Everything we do points back to our mission. So strategic service says, where's the critical need? And a person who embraces strategic service is a person who says, okay, listen, place me where the critical need is, and I will serve and I will lead there. And as I serve and as I lead, then I will pray. And I will allow God to put me in that place that might be more suited for where my giftings or my skills are at. People who embrace strategic service are people who realize, man, that we are about the most important thing that a group of people can be about in the entire world. And they realize that every single piece of this is absolutely critical to the whole. It's absolutely critical to our mission of leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ by creating environments. Which is why some of you who are new here, I know this for a fact. You might say, you know, I don't even know if I believe all this stuff. But I'll tell you what, I'm especially, and I'm not even sure about this whole Jesus thing. But I'll tell you what, I've been coming for 6 weeks now, and I can't wait to come next Sunday. In fact, I put my kids back there in Wahabu land, and I tell them, I say, now, don't believe everything that they tell you there, okay? But yeah, we'll be back next week. And you're thinking, why in the world, why would I wake up every Sunday morning to be a part of something that I'm not even sure I totally believe in? Here's why. It's because you are surrounded by some incredible people who understand that it's not just about volunteering to fill some random need or just to keep the boat afloat. Nobody wants to be a part of that. No one. You don't. I don't. Here's the thing. You're surrounded by men and women, and easily a couple hundred of us, who says, you know what? I'm willing to apply my heart and my hands to the area of greatest demand. And as I serve in these environments, I am open to where else God might lead me or where the leadership may point me. But in the meantime, I'm not going to just sit around and wait till I find something that suits me perfectly before I get into the game. When you get home, I want you to read the book, a portion of Acts in the Bible. Acts is basically the story of what happened after Jesus left. It's a story about the beginning of the church. The church started. And in Acts chapter 6, we're introduced to the first church problem. Oh, yes, they've had problems all along. Yeah, first church problem. And the reason there was a problem is because the church was exploding with growth. And here's the thing, when your church is exploding with growth, okay, in fact, this Bible says that there were 3,000 people in one day made a commitment to Christ. That's incredible. Imagine that happening here. Wow, there'd be problems. Some of us wouldn't like each other because we would be really focused on what we're doing. Well, what was happening now was you had these two groups of Jews, and they're living together, they're sharing meals, they're sharing their money, thousands of them are congregating, and in Acts chapter 6, we're told that the Grecian Jews are kind of ticked off at the Hebrew Jews because their widows were being overlooked. They weren't getting the food they needed to get every day. And so the people who were defending these widows come to the leadership and say, look, hey, your sermons are great, okay, but our widows are starving. Okay, so can we do something about this? And our widows and your widows are getting preferential treatment, ours are not, okay? And someone parked in my parking space today at church. And someone sat in my chair and the music was a little bit too loud. Huh. And so what happens is the leaders decide, okay, we gotta bring some organization here, we've gotta find some people to serve. And so they go out, they find people to serve, and they delegate the service to these people, and they take care of the need. And then in Acts chapter 6, here's the one scripture I'm sharing with you today. There is a verse in today's church service. Anyway, let me show you this. Acts chapter 6, verse 7. Here's the result of all that work. It says this, so the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Listen to that phrase, so the word of God spread. Now, wait a minute. What is the word of God spreading in widows? I mean, what does that have to do with each other? Here's the thing. There was a critical need, and a certain group of people stepped up to meet that critical need, and the entire mission flourished. The entire mission went forward. And here's what I want you to see. As we grow, as we move into the future, the thing that will facilitate the growth that God is bringing here, the thing that will facilitate the growth is hundreds of men and women who understand that there is no menial, there are no non-critical parts to this thing called the church. Every part counts. And it's understanding, man, that the mission is not just about greeting people at the door just so we can be friendly. The mission is That when you greet people, when you're friendly to them, man, it begins to knock down those walls. It begins to knock down those barriers that people walk into church with. Man, it's about understanding that we don't babysit children here. We don't babysit them. What our goal is, what our passion is to lodge an anchor in their hearts that can never be removed. So what's going to take us into the future is not just a realization that we have a bunch of volunteers. No, it's going to be because we have men and women who embrace this concept of strategic service and who say, you know what, I'm willing to apply my heart and my hands to the place of greatest need right now. I'm willing to make it happen. And as I serve in that place of greatest need, as I serve in that area of strategic concern, I will pray that God will take me maybe where my gift or my skill set might be more used or properly used. But in the meantime, I'm not going to sit on the sidelines. I'm going to engage in the mission. And so today, we're inviting you. We're encouraging you. We're requesting whatever we need to do to get you in, because we think that once you're in, you're going to love it. And here's what you'll discover. As you engage in one of these strategic areas, 6 months later, a year later, year and a half later, you're going to say, you know what? Man, that was one of the greatest things I've ever done in my entire life. And I got to be honest, Scott, a little bit of guilt in there. Yeah, okay, but hey, I tell you, this was like the greatest thing I could have ever done was to get plugged in and involved. And I'll tell you, we need to show up on Sunday mornings with this attitude, because here's the thing. It happens all the time, and there's a group of people here who have invested and invested and invested in the hearts and lives of people who don't know God. And every Sunday is a Sunday that one of those people are going to show up for the first time. And our heart and our passion has got to be that we're going to create the most irresistible environment for those people to come and learn about Christ. And I'll tell you, we're reminded of this when we hear things like comments, emails, thank you so much for this church. Man, thank you. You have no idea how this has affected my family. My life is changing. I'm beginning to think differently because some people have rolled up their sleeves and said, I'm going to apply my heart and my hands to the areas of greatest need. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? God, this morning, we've just talked about a lot of stuff. And we've celebrated where we've been. We've celebrated what you've done here in this church. God, we've talked about the future and what it seems like we might be faced with over these next several months, next year, year and a half. And as exciting as all that is, we also realize, God, that it does certainly create some challenges. But I also know, God, that these are not challenges to you. So God, I pray that as we as a community, as we step up and as we engage and as we say, God, we're going to pray. God, we're going to be committed to serving. We're going to be committed financially. God, we're going to give it our best. We're going to give it our all. I know, God, that those challenges will be met because of your grace and your power. Talk to our hearts today, God. Let us respond. Let us step out in faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's the deal, guys. It's action time. It's time to step out and to say, you know what, I'm going to make it happen. The only way that we're going to make the kind of impact we need to make is with every person getting engaged in this mission. Every one of us saying, you know what, it's not about me. It's not about my comfort. It's not about what I think I need. It's about what God is doing here. And I'm going to step out in faith, and I'm going to get engaged. So here's my question for you today. Are you committed? Are you on board? Are you going to plug in? And are you going to help make it happen? Are you willing to engage? When you came in this morning, you should have received one of these. Would you just take it out real fast? This is a strategic service sheet. Does everybody get one of these? If you didn't get one, would you raise your hand so we can get one to you? These are, right here, five critical areas of need that we need to make happen to go to the next level of our mission. Now, for example, we have two very critical needs right now that if we don't address soon, we are going to miss out on opportunity that God wants to do here. First of all, our first area is our children's environments. Our children's ministries are exploding right now. And you may not know this, but we have actually recently had to turn children away from our children's ministry. We have had first-time guests walk in here to this church with their kids, and we've had to tell them, I'm sorry, we can't take your child. We don't have enough workers. Can I tell you, that should not be an issue for us, because we are missing out on opportunities. And when I say that we have a need, here's what we need specifically in children's ministry right now. I need 95 more workers in our children's ministry. 95. If we had 95 people who would say, you know what, I will plug in. I will serve in either in Wahabu land, in preschool, nursery. I'll teach. I'll help with production. Maybe I'll come in during the week and I'll help out administratively. Maybe you don't like kids. That's okay. You can still get plugged in. You can still help make a difference. We need 95 people to plug into our children's ministry right now. Now, the other area that we have a huge need in is our welcome teams. Look, we have an incredible opportunity to create just irresistible environments here every time we gather. And I'm going to tell you, had we not have the awesome welcome team people we have right now, many of you would not even be here today. You walked in these doors and you said, wow, this place is friendly. Can I tell you, it's time for you now to provide that same experience for someone else who's going to walk through these doors. It's your turn. And so we need right now 50 more people in our welcome teams. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking the same thing I was thinking when I heard these numbers. What? But then I got to thinking about the kind of people we have here, and I'm confident that there are some of you who are not plugged in, or maybe you're plugged in and you want to get more involved. There's opportunity here for you to do that. So these two areas that we really want to bring to your attention is our welcome teams and our children's ministry. And I just want to say, you might say, well, you know what, I don't really know the Bible that well, or man, I'm just so new to this, I don't even know if I totally believe everything. Look, if you can smile and you can shake someone's hand, you're qualified to be on the welcome teams. Well, you all just smiled, so you're there, you're already halfway there. Anyway, here's what I want you to do. We're going to dismiss out in the lobby. We're going to ask you, first of all, to fill this sheet out right here in front of you, and we want you to put down in order of your preference to be involved. Now, if we get everybody that signs up for Coffee Bar, we might have to say, well, we need some of you over here. And so be flexible. So what we want you to do is write down one as your first choice, two for your second choice, and so on and so forth. And then what we want you to do is walk outside to the tables that are out here. There are people at these tables. Go to the table that you marked as your first choice. Take this, give that to them. There's a sheet you need to pick up that tells you what your next step is. Is everybody clear on that? And I trust we're going to respond. And I trust that next Sunday I can stand up here and say to you, guess what? We've got our 95 children's workers. We won't have to turn anybody else away. We've got our 50 welcome team people. And so we're going to be able to continue to expand and create even greater environments. Are you committed? Amen. Hey, I've kept you guys a long time today. This is like a record right here. Next week's service will be 20 minutes. So, hey, you guys have a great day, and go out to the tables. We'll talk to you later. Bye.